mentioned many times already, the night of Pesach, kind of comprises two separate things. On one hand, there's this notion of telling the story. It's a mitzvah. It's a sacred duty we have to tell the story. V'yigadta levincha, ideally to our children, but in general, we have to tell the story. And then there's also this idea of singing Hashem's praises, thanking Hashem for the Exodus, for our liberty, for our freedom. We have to actually sing Hashem's praises. That's part of the night of Pesach. And the word Haggadah, which is the handbook, the Passover handbook, actually means both. On one hand, Haggadah means the telling, like V'yigadta. On the other hand, it comes from the terminology Higadta Hayoim, that the Jew would come to the Beis HaMikdash with his Bikurim, with his firstling fruit, and he would thank Hashem. He would express his gratitude. And he would do so in a loud and a proud way, and that's also, it's called Higadti. So there's an element in the Haggadah which is primarily telling, recounting a story, and there's also an element in the Haggadah of singing Hashem's praises. And kind of towards the end of Maggid, we move after, really from Dayenu onward, we move from telling the story, we move to starting to counting our blessings, and then we actually begin to say the opening verses of Hallel. And that's how we conclude Maggid, the opening verses of Hallel. So today's class, or the next step in our Passover journey, is going to be about Hallel, about singing. And we're going to answer a very, very fundamental question. When is it time to sing? Don't say always. When is it time to sing?
When the heart is full of joy.
Okay, that's your answer. Let's find out. Let's find out what the Haggadah says. Let's find out what Judaism says. When is it time to sing? Be'ez amidas ha-halel, at the time of saying the halel, b'leil Pesach, in the night of Pesach, b'zman she-beis ha-migdash ha-yokayim, the time that the Jerusalem temple stood and Pesach was being fulfilled in its entirety with the Paschal offering, with the Korban Pesach. So they would eat the Korban Pesach. And there was a dispute that arose between the houses of Shammai and the houses of Hillel. Now we use the term Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, the house of each, because the truth is that these great sages lived far longer than their terrestrial lifetimes. For more than a century, their memory and their spirit were as alive as when they were physically alive. Just same thing, as if there had no change whatsoever. Only it wasn't Shammai's opinion, it was Beit Shammai. But the students of Shammai were so devoted and so fiercely loyal to Shammai and so inspired by him that it was as if Shammai was still speaking, because they were under such a profound influence from his teachings that they merely reflected the light of his spirituality and of his Torah teaching. And so it was also with Beis Hillel. So we don't even know certain disputes, whether it was actually Hillel or Shammai, or it was just the disputes or different approaches to Yiddishkeit that was promulgated by the disciples. But like we call it, they don't have names. It's Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. These were Hasidim of their rabbis, and a reflection of their rabbis' Torah more so than their own personal opinion. It was because they had absorbed those teachings, it was because they had received that kind of tradition, that's why they thought a certain way. That's why they functioned in that particular manner. So Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel have this dispute. Ad heichon emre mesahala lefnei achilas haPesach. We start off the end of Maggid by saying the verses of Hallel, Hallelujah. And then we go on to Betzeis Yisrael. So there was this is the first two paragraphs of Hallel. There was this dispute between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. How far do you go in the opening bars of Hallel? Beit Shammai says, Ad eim habanim semecha. You finish what we proverbially know as the first paragraph. In other words, the first chapter, the first Psalm, Psalm 113. You say Psalm 113, and that's it. It's just the first few verses. What do you say in your siddur, the end of the first paragraph? Kiloimar, in other words, b'shlavzeh, at this point in the seder, ein lahaskir es yitzias mitzayim. We don't want to actually mention the Exodus. But the Exodus comes as a direct mention later. The truth is that there's already a veiled reference to Pharaoh's turning to the Jewish people, and he says, Hallelujah, Hallelu Avdei Hashem. The Mepharshim say that's Pharaoh speaking to the Jewish people, and he said, No, sing his praises. You're his servants, not my slaves anymore. But openly, it doesn't say they left Mitzrayim. You could read that verse, those verses, that paragraph in many ways. But the second paragraph begins with the words, Bitzeit Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, when Israel left So that's, he's leaving Egypt. That's an open reference to the Exodus. So Beis Shammai says, you don't talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim early on in the night. Because when you're just saying Magid and you're just reading that early part of the Haggadah, you're nowhere near midnight. You haven't yet performed the mitzvah of eating matzah. You haven't yet performed the mitzvah of eating the Korban Pesach and the Mor. You didn't do all these things yet. And anyway, we're way before midnight. This is, don't say, don't mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. We just talk about Hallelujah, talk about thanking Hashem. You could praise Hashem, but Ein Lahaski Yetzias Mitzrayim. When should you say it? He says, Pesach. Only after you finish eating the Korban Pesach, then you can say, after midnight, you can say, B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim.
What, the Afikoman? That's what they say?
After eating, well, the Afikoman that we eat today is in lieu of the Korban Pesach, right?
So only then.
Only after the Afikoman, correct? Yes.
But it's a long time.
Well, that's the end of the Seder. We do call that Halal Nirtza, which will be a discussion for another day. But that is the end of the Seder. Towards the end of the Seder, we do say the rest of Halal, and we recite the verses of Nishmas.
But then you're tired. You don't want to, you want to get through the Seder already.
You say by then you're tired. Other people tell me by then they're inspired.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Beis Hillel says, Ad chalomish lomayne moyim. You recite till the end of the second paragraph, until we refer to the flint in the spring of water, which just is how, that's the words that the second paragraph concludes on. In other words, according to Beis Hillel, kvar lefnei achilas ha-pesach, yet before the Korban Pesach has been eaten, goes long before midnight, oimrim, we also say the words b'tzeis Yisrael mimitzrayim, when Israel left Egypt. Early on, before. That's the dispute. So what is the dispute? What are they really arguing about? This is a Mishnah. So Mavur b'Talmud Yerushalmi, in the Jerusalem Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud does not explain this, but the Jerusalem Talmud does. It explains Shatam Shal Beis Shammai, the reason of Beis Shammai, She'ein lahazkir es Yetzias Mitzrayim lifnei hashah sheba yotzu Yisrael mim Mitzrayim. We do not mention the hour of the Jewish people leaving Mitzrayim, the moment of the Exodus, before the hour that they left, and since we're before midnight, and since it was only Nigla Aleh Melech Malchi Amlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God Almighty revealed himself at midnight. So at midnight, which is the time when they start to actually experience the Exodus, that's when you can mention the going out of Mitzrayim. However, prior to that time, what is the sense of talking about going out of Mitzrayim when we're still in Mitzrayim? We haven't left Mitzrayim. We didn't cross that threshold yet. So that's Beis Shammai's opinion. Okay, sounds somewhat reasonable. What's Beis Hillel's opinion? Avol Beis Hillel leimrim shemikivon shegam la'acher achilus ha-pesach adayin ein zu ashor shebo'ir ha-gula. Beis Hillel says, I don't understand you. Even at midnight, they still didn't leave Egypt. After all, shoyse b'shal sayom, they didn't leave till the morning. So if they anyway didn't leave till the morning, so efshalimer b'tzeis yisol b'mitzayim b'layla kvar. You're anyway not waiting for tomorrow morning to sing Hallel. I mean, we are actually, but that's not part of the Seder. So the Seder is going to be long gone by the time noon comes the next day. And so since we aren't actually experiencing or passing the threshold of time, entering that frame of time when we left Mitzrayim, so in that case, what's the difference? He says, what's the difference then? So already in the evening, you could say, B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim Kfar B'Layla. Mishum Shekbay Heichelu Hayetziyam Mitzrayim. The Exodus had already begun, if you will. But it didn't begin yet. The Jewish people were still formally slaves. The Pharaoh hadn't officially renounced his hold on them. Once we actually performed the mitzvah of bringing the Korban Pesach, so the klipa of Mitzrayim was already broken. Now, even though the Rebbe once talked about this idea, he said usually when somebody commits to doing a mitzvah, so the mitzvah, even just the commitment to doing a mitzvah is valuable. But here the Rebbe said, it wasn't just the commitment to doing a mitzvah, it was actually performing the mitzvah. When they actually did it, that shook up the heavens. They actually did it. So at this point, they actually did it. So let's go a basic recap before we go into the Rebbe's insight here, the Rebbe's unique insight. So far, basically, we've had a Mishnah and a Talmud Yerushalmi. Again, at the night of the Seder, we not only tell a story, we also sing a song. Not only do we recount the Exodus, we also specifically go on to talk about the praises of Hashem, who has redeemed us from the land of Mitzrayim. That's part of the Seder repertoire. Now, the idea of the Hallel, the opening bars of Hallel, which are recited towards the end of Magid, not at the afterward fulfilling the mitzvahs, which is the matzah, the maror, the afikoman, which would be the Korban Pesach. So the opening bars of Hallel are recited towards the end of Magid. We haven't done any of the mitzvot yet. The night is yet young, or somewhat young. We didn't even drink a second cup of wine yet. Beis Hillel says that we can start to say the Hallel. Make some progress. Move through it. Shammai says, no, you can't. You can say the opening bars, because it doesn't mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. But until we actually enter that threshold of time, we cannot talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Once we pass midnight, that's where we can talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Before midnight, it's not the place for it. Shammai responds and says, as the Talmud Yerushalmi explains, no, he says. When we leave midnight, midnight was the stroke of midnight when the firstborns died. That's when the Exodus began. That's what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk, the verse says, that Niglu Aleihem Melech Malchim Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Lord God revealed himself, Uga'olam, and he redeemed them. So physically, we were still in the land of Mitzrayim. But conceptually, we were already redeemed. So you can say, B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim after midnight. But before midnight, nothing happened yet, if you will.
Shammai said after midnight.
Shammai says, sing it after midnight. You want to sing? Sing after midnight. Don't sing about the Exodus before midnight. Don't mention the Exodus before midnight. What's so special about midnight?
That's when
God revealed himself. That's when the firstborns died. That's when slavery formally ended, even though they were physically still in the land. Beis Hillel says, I don't know what you're talking about. They were physically still in Egypt. They didn't leave Egypt till the next morning, until high noon. So what are you going to wait till the next morning? The Seder has to be at night. It doesn't make any sense. So if you're saying Hallel, say Hallel already. Why push it off? This is a dispute. Nishalos HaShaila, comes the question. So Beis Hillel makes a lot of sense. Beis Hillel is saying, we didn't leave Mitzrayim at midnight. We didn't leave Mitzrayim till the next day. So the L'shitasim shel Beis Shammai, according to the opinion of Beis Shammai, Shein lahazki yitzias Mitzrayim lifnei achilas haPesach. Don't mention the words going out of Egypt after you eat the Korban Pesach. Why? Mishum shadayin lehigia hasha'ah shel yitziyah Mitzrayim. Because the time didn't come yet. And since the time didn't come yet, you can't talk about it yet. Can't talk about it. You got to wait for the time. So mahu amiris amasibul amiris b'tzeis yisrael mitzrayim la'achar achilas haPesach. What then is the reasoning of saying yitzias Mitzrayim, of saying b'tzeis going out of Egypt, mentioning this formally at the time when it's past midnight? Haregam oz adayin lehigiu sha'ah yitzias Mitzrayim. They still didn't leave Egypt. What does that help you? That so to speak, that threshold of time going into past the idea of midnight. So it says that God revealed himself. So the firstborns did die. So the Pharaoh said, leave Egypt. Yeah, but they didn't leave yet. The slavery wasn't over. In fact, the Gemara tells us that they left exactly at the moment when Yitzchok was born. Exactly 400 years after Yitzchok was born, exactly at that moment, that's when they left Mitzrayim. Not one moment earlier. It says, Le'ikvan afilu kehedef ayin, God didn't hold him back the blink of an eye, a nanosecond. The moment they were supposed to leave Mitzrayim is exactly when they left Mitzrayim. And not 1 second before either. So what is Beis Shammai talking about? He says, at midnight? It's not at midnight. It's not until the next day.
Didn't Hillel say it wasn't until the next day?
Yeah, Hillel says, anyway, you're not leaving Egypt till the next day. So why limit your singing? Sing away, he says. It's okay. Start singing now. But we didn't leave Egypt yet. He says, and at midnight you did. You didn't anyway, so sing. What's the problem?
That's what Hillel says.
Beis Shammai says, no, we can't sing yet. Can't sing till the time comes. The Rebbe is asking, Beis Hillel seems to make a lot of sense. The time actually didn't come. Sing the next day. Interestingly, even the next day we don't wait till midday to sing Hallel. Everybody's finished davening by the time we get to Chatzot. Even the next day, which is a mitzvah to sing Hallel. So we don't even sing any of the Hallels at, so to speak, right time. So Hillel's right. When's the time to sing? Whenever. You're right. You feel like singing, sing. Beis Shammai says, no, you can't just sing. The Yesh Leimar, so the Rebbe offers a very, very profound and penetrating insight into this idea. He says, and this follows a teaching that the Rebbe really had kind of promulgated over 40 years, always when he talked about Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, things somehow always came around to the same thesis. The Rebbe had this thesis of Beis Shammai had one approach to life and Beis Hillel has another approach to life. And that all of the disputes that are found in the entirety of the Talmud, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, always fall in these fault lines. They're always following the same theory. Whether it's a dispute of how we kindle a menorah, whether it's a dispute of details of what's permitted or not permitted on Shabbat, it always follows the same fault lines. And there's a number of edited talks, actually, where the Rebbe goes through multiple disputes and shows how each one is following the same idea, and he even explains why each one is unique, why each one is a unique expression of that idea. So this is one of the examples. The Rebbe says, Beshamai helchem l'shitasam. Beshamai follows its approach. I don't think this is an original thought of the Rebbe insofar as the idea of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. I'm pretty sure that this was articulated already before the Rebbe, but the Rebbe applied it in a very, very profound and broad way. Well, I'm not certain of that. I think the idea had existed earlier. Beis Shammai helchem l'shitasam kifi sha'ilum emechleikas rabbeis. Like you see in many disputes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, they follow their approach. What's the opinion of Beis Shammai? What's the approach? We always look at something in its potential state. We don't look at the actual reality. We look at what's the potential here. We always follow potential. So let's give you a simple example. On the first night of Hanukkah, how many nights do we have potentially to celebrate the first night of Hanukkah?
After the first night?
The first night arrives. Potentially, how many parties are in front of us? How many nights of celebration are in front of us on the first night?
Eight nights?
There are eight nights potentially. We don't have eight nights. We only got one night so far. We have potentially eight nights. So Beis Shammai says, fire up the menorah. How many lamps should you light?
He says eight.
He says eight. Why eight? Because on the first day of Hanukkah, we have 8 days to celebrate. It's like a person goes on vacation. The first day of vacation, they feel great. Why? I have 8 days of vacation. The second day feels a little not so great. So they only have 7 days left. On the third day, only five days left. Only 6 days, only 5 days. They're just counting down. So the first day of Hanukkah, the whole Hanukkah in front of you. Light up the menorah, says Beis Shammai. Second day, we only have 7 days. Now we're going to light only seven lamps. When it comes, however, to Beis Hillel's approach, he says, on the first day of Hanukkah, how many days of Hanukkah do you actually have? How many have you experienced? He says, well, none. Now we're just experiencing the first one. So he says, light a lamp. On the second day, how many days of Hanukkah are in the bag? I celebrated yesterday. I'm enriched by yesterday's celebration. I'm going to be rich now by tonight's celebration. Fine, two lamps. Etc. I'm using it as one of the examples, one of the prime examples. Yeah. So in our case here, the Rebbe says, in Beis Shammai's, from Beis Shammai's approach, we're looking at everything at the potential level. The leaving of Egypt came in the merit of the self-sacrifice, the mesiras nefesh, the incredible loyalty and devotion, which really was against all odds, in order to follow through, not just be the willingness, but to do it. It's a pretty big deal when they had the willingness. But when they actually took that sheep, and they paraded through the streets, and the Egyptians went crazy. He said, what are you doing? You're slaughtering your God. You're slaughtering my God. Yeah, I'm slaughtering your God. They went crazy. They wanted to kill him. And the Israelites were resolute. And because they were so resolute and courageous, in the end, l'makim mitzayim b'v'chayim, the Egyptians were smitten by their own firstborn. Tahrir Square was alive with a rebellion. And then the tanks came in and killed everybody. This actually happened. So it was, and then they slaughtered the Korban Pesach and they dashed his blood on the doorposts. So when that happened, the kivan sheschar hamitzvah neveya mehamitzvah, since the reward of a mitzvah is an outcrop, a result is engendered by the mitzvah itself, v'hu kolul ba b'koyach, it's included already in potential, in the potential of the fulfillment of the mitzvah, not just the promise of the mitzvah. Like I said, that everyone said the promise of the mitzvah there wasn't enough. They actually had to do something. But they actually did it. Once they actually did it, you do your part. So what will be engendered from the mitzvah is already like it's there. Because I created it. I did my part already. The rest is in Hashem's hands. In Hashem's hands, there's nothing that's... We have to be afraid of it not happening. Hashem promised it's going to happen. The question is if we're going to do it, not if Hashem's going to do it. We did it. So if we did it, then the result is already, if you will, engendered. It's already real. It's already... It's the cat's in the bag. It's a guarantee already. When they sat down to eat the Korban Pesach, and by eating the God of Egypt, which was a most profound expression of renouncing Egyptian idolatry, we don't accept your gods. We renounce your gods. It was the most profound polemic against everything Egypt represented, when you could eat his God. Total rejection. You could eat that. I'm no fear of that. That I do it in the honor of God because of Hashem's commandment. But so through that kvar nifalo yinshul esiyas mitzayim b'koyecho behelim. The exodus is already real. It's there already. I was still in Egypt. Okay, so we haven't actually left yet. But the exodus is already, it's already happening. V'lochein. Miyad l'achar esiyom achila. The moment they were finished eating, kvar efshel lever b'tzeis yisol b'mitzayim. From B'shamay's perspective, start to sing now. We didn't leave yet. Don't worry about it. It happened already. It's as if we left already. But we didn't leave. It doesn't matter if we didn't leave. Because we did the mitzvah. We did our part. Hashem says it's promised us. So the schar, the reward of the mitzvah, is encoded, tucked into the folds of the mitzvah itself. If the mitzvah is done, the schar is done. There's nothing to talk about. The exodus is fait accompli. Once we ate the carbon Pesach, that's it. It was over. Why? But that's Beshamai's approach. But we didn't actually leave Egypt. Beshamai says you look at the potential of things. You don't have to see. You don't have to actually have it in hand. Yitzias Mitzrayim kvar kayemas b'koyach. The exodus is already there. Not actually, but it's a done deal already. Avol adas beis Hillel. But according to the opinion of beis Hillel, mischashvim b'matzav hadvarim b'poil. How do we look at things? You see, when it happens, call me. That's when I'll sink. I have to look at the concrete reality. Vayitzias Mitzrayim b'koyach. On the Yitzias Mitzrayim potential, that's not a thing to sing about. You can feel good in your heart. You can't sing about that. Ella, Shekaomer, Nitan Lahaskel Samiris Halo Mitchilas Yema Yitzia. If you want to look at the potential reality, so sing whenever you want. Sing already early out of the night. If the whole idea of the night of Seder is not just telling a story, not just Haggadah from the terminology of Vihigarat Olavincha, but also Haggadah praise from the terminology Higati Hayyayim for the Bikurim, so great. So sing. But we didn't reach the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So what? You're not going to reach it in midnight either. You're not going to reach the actual frame, the moment, the threshold of time until the next day, midday. And that's way after the Seder. And that's way after Shachris too. So that's not going to, you don't have to wait for that. So what's the halacha? So we have these two approaches. When can you sing? The halacha, of course, is like Beis Hillel. We don't sing about potential. Well, until Mashiach comes. Mashiach comes, things are going to change a little. And so it is also, my dear friends, with regard to the future redemption. Which the future redemption, the Navi says, the future redemption and the miracles and wonders that will unfold then, very, very speedily, hopefully in an hour time, are likened and metaphorized as wonders and miracles in comparison. By, if you will, by framing it with what happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not mutually exclusive. Ein anu mistapkim begu'ula beruchnias bekoyach. We cannot be satisfied. We cannot sing and dance. We cannot be happy about it. In theory, we have turned the corner. In theory, we're in Mashiach's times. Everything is great. Mashiach's coming. It doesn't work like that. Until Mashiach comes, we're not going to be happy. I mean, you can always be happy. You can't be satisfied. You can't sing Hashem's praises. You can't begin the process of Hillul, the process of Hidah, the process of thanking Hashem, before Mashiach comes, because Mashiach isn't here yet. And for us, the present approach has to be Zoyakim Admasai Ketzaplois. We have to cry out to Hashem, how much longer? There's an appointed time. When is it coming already? Umafzirim, we have to continue to storm the heavens. Shekvar Neitze Mehagolos Bepoil Mamash. And this is an answer to many, many questions on many, many levels. Of what is the correct approach, what is the philosophy, how a Yid should look at Israel today, how a Yid should look at the realities, the good things we have today, and how a Yid is supposed to continue to yearn and crave for the coming of Mashiach. But now is not the time for satisfaction. Now is not the time to kick back and say, we're living in Mashiach's times, everything is good already. No, we have, whether it's a foot, a yard, half a mile, or a mile, or God forbid longer, nobody knows how much longer is in the journey. But until we get to the finish line, you can't sink. Speaking of singing, there was that ridiculous expression. It's not over till the fat lady sings. I don't know who the fat lady is, but that's what they say. And that's the point. So it's a funny answer to the original question I asked. I said, so when can you sing? What's the answer? That's what you can always sing. You should always be happy, but you can't sing. You can't sing, but you can't be satisfied. You can't be already complacent, because singing. They're singing because I'm always happy, and they're singing because we've reached the goal. We always should be happy. We can always sing to Hashem. But the singing praises of Hashem, this is something that we continue to await and yearn for. May it be speedily and in our days. Amen. L'chaim.